I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life.
We're at a bloco, or block party, really. There are people in costumes and makeup. I can see people wearing feathers, face paint. Woo! I just got sprayed with foam. Nice, thank you.
You heard me in Brazil just then, on the street at Carnival in Rio a few days ago. Because over the last week, and for the next few weeks, we're doing something special on the show. That question about making it, we're asking it on a global scale. It's in partnership with the BBC in a series called Six Routes to Riches. And here's what we want to know. When the global economy collides with real life, what happens? How do you make a better life? And what does that mean? We're going around the world to find out. Last week, you heard from Germany. This week, Nigeria. Next week, you'll hear my reporting from Brazil. I've spent the past 2 weeks there, talking to people at the top of the economic ladder, those working their way up, and everyone in between. And over the next few weeks, we'll also report from India, China, and the US. But back to Brazil for a moment. Just 5 years ago, the economy there was growing at more than 7% a year. Brazil was exporting iron ore, coffee, beef, and all the services supporting those commodities were booming. That meant that tens of millions of people were joining the middle class. It's now the largest economic group in the country. It includes people like Eleonora de Mello. She's 26 and works in an upscale teen boutique at a mall in Sao Paulo. She sells clothes on salary and commission. But now the economy, it's getting weaker. I had dinner with Eleonora and her family, and she told me she's worried that the downturn in Brazil's economy could hurt her dream to save enough money to open up a beauty salon.
I work in the oldest, most renowned, and most traditional mall in São Paulo, and the clients that we have are loyal clients, old clients, who have high standards. But now they are afraid to expand, to spend. They are not buying as before, and I am afraid too, because my money, my work, will represent my money. Which through this money of my work, I'll be able to afford my future and hopefully my salon in the future.
You'll hear more from Eleonora and her family next week, including her mother's story about coming to São Paulo as a teenage mother and working her way up from a maid to a woman who owns her own home free and clear. You'll also hear about whether Brazil's middle class can hold on to the good life. A lot of people we talked to there were pretty worried. We're going to share their stories with you. We'll also explain how what happens in Brazil affects people in other parts of the world. Soon we'll go to India, China, and part of the U.S. But first, we're going to visit the biggest economy in Africa, Nigeria. And not just with any reporter, but someone who grew up there and has watched it change and shift. The BBC's Nkem Ifejika. And before we dive into Nkem's story about entrepreneurs in Nigeria, he's here to give us an overview of what makes the country's economy tick. Hi, Nkem. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
When we put this show together, we're looking at all these different countries. What does Nigeria tell us about the global economy? What's going on in the economic situation there?
I mean, Nigeria is definitely plugged in to the global economy for good or for ill. If you take, say, the price of oil, which has fallen a lot over the past year or so. Nigeria has been affected. Nigeria is Africa's largest exporter of oil. So, and something like 70 to 80% of government revenues comes from oil. So the fall in the price of oil has been very bad for the Nigerian economy. So that's just one aspect. That said, Nigeria is still growing. You know, Nigeria is still growing around 5, 6% a year. It's been doing so for the past 10 years or so. Growth has been revised down for 2015 because of shocks in oil prices and because of the devaluation of the Naira. But, you know, people, there's still a lot of money in the country. And it's a huge population as well, 170 million people. It's about the seventh largest population in the world. So you have all these factors that just kind of tell you that, you know what, it's an important economy. People should pay attention to it.
Last week, we focused on Germany, and we get these little portraits of economic identity, sort of where economics and psychology collide. In Germany, there was a lot about debt and how it's the same word for guilt. I'm curious whether in Nigeria there's a lens through which citizens look at the economy that tells you something a little bit deeper about how they view their economic life.
There's a thing in Nigeria called, I guess young people these days call it a side hustle, which is a business you do on the side. Yeah, that's what it's called. It's a side hustle, or you can call it, one of my favorites is a 5 to 9. So, you know, you've got your 9 to 5, and then you go home and you do your 5 to 9. And that is what brings in the money, because the formal sector is just not big enough to cope with the number of people. So if you have, you know, millions of graduates going into the jobs market every year, and there are no jobs for them in the formal sector, they will have to find some way to feed themselves and their families. And that is the side hustle. You do a different job. You do something to make ends meet. And if you're lucky enough to have a salary, chances are your salary will not pay you that much. So what you do is you have something else that you do. And most people buy and sell. And Nigerians can always find a way to make something, turn something into a commodity.
You grew up in Nigeria. What's changed over the years? And how did you see it, you know, going back now, looking at it as a presenter?
What I've noticed is, and what has really struck me, is the sophistication these days of the businesses. So people are doing much more interesting businesses. So once upon a time, I'd say that Nigerians were well known for buying and selling. Trading, it's the simplest form of business. You buy something for a low price, you whack up something on it, and then you sell it for a bit more, you keep the profits. That is very simple, very basic. But people are becoming a lot more sophisticated and a lot more interesting in the way that they do things. You know, so people are doing things like media and telecommunications and services. Services are now a huge part of the Nigerian economy. Once upon a time, it was all about oil. But now there was a rebasing of the Nigerian economy last year. And it turns out that oil, which Nigeria is almost synonymous for, is only 14% of GDP.
Wow.
In terms of the grand scheme of things, it isn't that big a deal. So people are getting their money from all sorts of different places. That said, there are still the big issues. Infrastructure. Infrastructure is a huge, huge problem. So, you know, I used to joke when I was a kid that if an American car company wanted to make an advert about how durable their cars were, just send them onto Nigerian roads. Electricity is a huge problem. New York City produces 5 times more electricity than Nigeria. So can you imagine trying to survive as a business, let's say you're in manufacturing, in that kind of environment where you do not have any electricity? These are the sorts of problems which have persisted for years and years and years, and they almost seem quite intractable. As if to say, I'm not quite sure how these are going to get fixed. Hopefully they will get fixed at some point, but these are the things which have stayed the same while other things have changed.
That's the BBC's Nkem Ifejike. Thank you so much.
No. Thank you, Lizzie.